Again, I want to say thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate you taking this holiday weekend to be with us. I guess we're the only ones that didn't go to the beach today. We didn't get to go to the beach, but...
It's okay, they're getting rained on.
Yeah, that's all right. It's raining on them. So we didn't waste our time. It's always good to be here, whether we got a few or a large number, whatever. It doesn't really matter because we're here in the presence of the Lord anyway. God's a good God, and I'm so thankful that I serve a living God. As a pastor, I was thinking the other day, I'm now approaching about 44 years in the ministry. And I thank God for being with me for 44 years and being a God that teaches me and shows me. And He's a living God. I can be a testimony to that, that when you go before God with the awesome responsibility of giving you His Word, that's a tremendous responsibility that I don't take lightly. So whether we got 5 or 500, I still try to give the intensity because, you know, God's coming soon. He could come this week. He could come this afternoon. And I want to make sure that when you leave this place, you've heard what He has to say, because that's what's most important. With that in mind, the Lord has led me to the book of John chapter 13. So if you'll go there with me, and it's going to be a familiar story when Judas betrayed the Lord. And what I've learned about serving the Lord now over 44 years in the ministry is that there's so much I need to learn about His Word. No matter how much I've read it, I still need to learn more about it. And so He always has more to say. But the Lord speaks to me in a lot of different ways. Someone asked me one time, how do you prepare messages? It's not really that. It's sometimes the Lord will give me a word or a thought, and it may go on for a month or whatever, and He just builds on that. But some time ago, if you've ever been to Walmart or whatever, now, you know, when you go put your card in, you can't swipe it anymore. How many of you know that? Now you got to put your chip in. Does that sound familiar about anything? But and so I begin to ask questions. You know me, shy me. I said, I want to know why do we have to do that? Why? And nobody has been able to answer my question why. Well, that's just what we got to do now. That's what they require. And so the Lord began to speak to my heart. He said, you see, things are just coming together. And, you know, it's going to happen that way that you don't have a say-so in it. You just got to do it. But how many of you know we're not going to get in this thing unaware? God's going to take care of us. Well, as I begin to think about Memorial Day, and I begin to think about all that God is doing and has done for us in our nation, war has always been a part of history. It's always been a part. War began, how many remember what the first war was? Not World War I, but how many guess what the first war was? Remember in heaven, Lucifer, all of a sudden. So war always begins with rebellion. War always starts with rebellion against what? Authority. When God created the world, when God spoke the world into existence, He created it with principle. He created it with order. We've talked about that a lot. So we know that. We know when God created the world, He created it with a godly law. We understand law better than order, but law is order. So God created the world with an order. Immediately, Satan rebelled against that order. And so, any anti-spirit, anything dealing with the enemy, is always anti-God. And it always is powered by rebellion. And so when Adam and Eve, when Satan fell out of the garden, out of heaven, the first thing he did was hit the garden and begin to work on Adam and Eve. And God said, don't do this. And the next thing they did, exactly what God said not do. So war has always been a part of our world. Why do we have war? We have war to establish authority and establish order. I thank God that right now in America, we don't have to worry about military men riding up down the streets to make sure we have order. It's probably going to come to that. But right now we have a sense of order, and you know why? That's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. God is very real in this world. God is our world, and without Him we don't have a world. So you got to understand that rebellion is a part of the last day plan of the enemy. Now God reveals this. He's already showed us in the Word everything that's going to happen. And so I've been reading a lot lately as He's been leading me through scripture after scripture. So I want you to understand that God said now, as you walk in authority and you walk in knowledge, I want you to begin to expose a Judas spirit. So I want to talk about this morning exposing the Judas spirit. So we're going to learn about what that is. So go with me to John chapter 13. And we'll just, let me go ahead and read this part so you'll understand. Verse 21 said, after saying these things, Jesus troubled in his spirit and testified. So now, at the last time, when we look at the Last Supper and everything, we just look at it as the Last Supper and all. But I want to tell you, intensified warfare was going on. Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you going to betray me. Now, why is Jesus doing this? Is he want to pick on Judas? Is he want to pick on? No, Jesus is doing this to reveal to you, for every order, there is a disorder. For every order, there's a disorder. And the disorder is powered by rebellion. Now, he said, one of you, and he's talking to the disciples. He's not talking to a crowd. He's talking to the disciples. Now, what is the characteristic of these disciples? They have seen him. They've lived with him for 3.5 years. They know he's real. They've seen the lives come back to life. They've seen the dead raised, the healed, sick healed. Right? They know he's real. But a spirit of Judas always, always tries to pull you from that truth. So he said, one of you going to betray me. So the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of who spoke. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved was reclining at the table on Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him and asked Jesus of who he was speaking. So the disciples, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is he whom I will give this moment a morsel of bread when I dip it. Now you got to understand, when they were dipping into the bowl, that was a symbol of friendship. That was a symbol of unity. That was like in the Southern culture. If you come to our house, most of the time you're going to be offered sweet tea or something like that, right? I mean, that's our culture. You're my friend. Do you want something to eat? I want to take care of you while you're here. So that was what was going on. So Jesus said, it's going to be one of them who pretend to be my friend. And so he says, so when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. So you see, Judas up to this point had an option not to do this. But he rebelled against authority and rebelled against what he knew and did what he wanted to do. Boy, that's good. That's good right there. Jesus said to him, what are you going to do? Do it quickly. King James says, whatever you do, just go ahead and do it. You want to know why Jesus said that? Because he knew that Judas had made that decision. You and I have got a decision to make. We no longer, I want to tell you, there's coming a time when you will not be able to play in the middle of the road. There's coming a time in America, who is on the Lord's side has got to be able to say so. So he says here, verse 28 says, now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what you need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out into the night. You see that? And when he had gone out, verse 31, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. You see what Jesus said right there? Judas leaves the room. And Jesus says, now I'm glorified. You know what he's saying right there? Now the distinction is made. From this moment forward, you need to understand who your enemy is. So I want to talk this morning about exposing the spirit of Judas, because the spirit of Judas is in America today. There's an anti-Christ spirit in the world today, and it's my job as a pastor to keep you aware of what's going on. I want you to be very much aware that the same spirit that was driving Judas that day is here in our world today. I want you to know how serious this was to Jesus. This was probably one of the most heart-wrenching things that Jesus had to deal with, because when you read scriptures like in Matthew 26, 38, he says, my soul was exceedingly sorrowful. Then you remember when he was in the garden, he said, he was talking about and being in agony, he prayed. This war that Jesus is in is a very serious war, because it is dealing with your soul. Now, the spirit of Judas, you got to get this, attacks loyalty and commitment. As I look back over America's history over the past several years, what has been attacked more than anything else in America is loyalty and commitment. I remember today when I was growing up that the American flag was reverent. I mean, you honored. You did not even let it touch the ground. You remember that? You would not. I remember when I was in elementary school, they would give us, everybody took turns raising the flag. And I remember, boy, I was just nervous as I could be. I didn't want to drop that thing, because that was America. Amen? The land of liberty. You see, it was a loyal thing. People didn't wear flags all over their body and all over their clothes. It was an honorable thing, because of the blood that was shed and everything that went through to make America great. I want to tell you something. We're in a generation now where people do not honor and are not loyal anymore to America. One that I'm trying to give you this morning, I'm trying to give you understanding today, that the spirit of Judas always attacks loyalty. Let's talk about church attendance. You know why people come to church now? Because they don't have nothing else to do that day. Because if they got something else to do that day, they ain't coming. Amen. If they got a better plan, if they wake up feeling a little bad, but Monday morning, they'll breakneck to be to work. In cast, head all bandaged up, full of dope, everything else, but I'm going to work. But when it comes to church, I ain't got nothing else to do today, so I reckon I'll go. Now, you're here, so I don't like preachers who preach to me, and I'm here. You're here. Thank God for you being here. But I'm just telling you, loyalty is a thing of the past. Let's take a husband and wife now. It ain't husband and wife no more. It's two coming together. And if I wake up one day and you scramble the eggs wrong, I'm gone. Amen? I'm gone. Hear me? I'm gone. Now, everything I live in has got wheels on it, because I'm fitting the rope. Amen? Because loyalty and commitment, commitment, I tell you, I have a hard time in the workplace. I have a hard time. Brother, I have a hard time. Because now you hire people to tell you what they're going to do. No, no, no. We got a problem. Amen? Because I'm old school. And I pay you to do a job. You're going to do the job. Then you're in HR. Well, you've got to be a little more compassionate. And then the one you're looking at in HR ain't never done what you're doing. That's nothing. I'm done. Let me get back over here. Y'all, when I get over there, I'm in a mess, y'all. Let me get back over here. But I began to, and the Lord just began to show me these things. I said, you're right, Lord. I hadn't thought about it like that. Judas saw everything that these other disciples did. You can't tell me he saw that people come back alive. He saw dead men come back alive, healed, sick. And yet, he don't believe. I said, Lord, help me understand. He said, because Judas loved himself more than he loved God. I said, I understand that. Because selfishness is a terrible thing, because self will make you your own God. So now in America, we've got all kind of religions. And you know why? Because people are trying to find... I actually had a guy stop me the other day, and we were talking. And he said, I just ain't found a church in Goldsboro that I like. I said, really? He said, I just haven't found one good enough for me. Y'all about know how I looked at him. A mule looking at a new gate. I mean, I just... Oh, really? You haven't found one good enough for you? No, I haven't found one good. The Lord just speaking to me. I said, oh. The Lord speaks in order. The Lord ordained the church. Amen? He ordained the word of God. You don't change this. This is his word. And how many of you know he don't change? But now I'm bigger than the church. I'm more intelligent than the church. And I just hadn't found one that suits me. You know where that is? That's the spirit of Judas. And I think the Lord allowed me to run into that person to kind of give me some, you know, visual aids to say, hey, it's all around you. Because selfishness always attacks commitment. And the Judas spirit always attacks commitment. And one of the hardest things about leaders, now I want to tell you something. We're trying to build a church and trying to grow a church in this last day. Let me tell you something. This is a rule. 20% do 80% of the work. 20% of people in churches do 80% of the work, and the 80% tell the 20% how to do it. But they're not going to do it. Somebody needs to do. Oh, be careful when you tell me somebody. I'll be putting it on you. You need to do it. Isn't it the truth, though? Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
And, you know, we say, well, somebody, and all that is selfishness. So we don't want the... I even heard a statement the other day where a man is offended with the Statue of Liberty. I can't read some of this stuff because I'm just an old crazy country boy, and I just can't read some of it because it's just... He's educated above his intelligence, that guy right there. He's educated way above his intelligence because the Statue of Liberty said he wants it torn down. And I'm amazed at the time that people invest in thinking things like that. And if it were not for God, we would not have liberty. We got men, we got sons and daughters, we got Rose's sons right now on a mission. He's in the military, he's a Marine. While others have got loved ones that are in different services, they're on the fighting lines today for America. You can't tell me that they don't take their life serious. They have gone away from their families. This morning, it's holiday, but they're away from their families. You want to know why? Because they believe in America, and they're still standing for America. And what we need to do is get back into commitment and say, I'm proud to be an American.
Amen.
Amen. And I look at this spirit of, and I've got to hurry up. Just give you three things, and then I'll be out of your way. What is the spirit of Judas? Three things. One is, number one, it's a destructive spirit. It's a destructive spirit, and it's powered by selfishness. The enemy is not an idiot. He's very intelligent. He's very intelligent. I mean, he allowed Adam and Eve to turn on God And they walk with God every day. So he's very, very, very good at what he does. It's a destructive spirit. And when you see the spirit of Judas in action, it is always powered by selfishness. And you get this right here. Here's a word you don't hear anymore. Respect. No respect for godly order. And it's intensifying. When your president appoints people who are one thing, but they dress like something else or whatever, you know what they say? All that don't matter. I wonder if people like Benjamin Franklin, who they said at the beginning of every Congress, would get in the middle, would get in the aisle and kneel down so that everybody could see, and he would pray, God, give us your direction. You remember the Declaration of Independence. Whose signature is bigger than anybody else's?
Hancock.
Why? Because they wanted him to see. You know what he said? I want him to see that I've signed this. Isn't that awesome? I want them to be able to recognize. Because they're saying, listen, America is strong because of one thing, because of God. And it's strong because of God, because there's a respect. And I want to tell you something. Respect is something that has to be earned. And when you say, I seen a veteran the other day, it was a clip. Somebody was showing me a clip on YouTube, and I'm not all into all that stuff. I don't know how to do a lot of it, but anyhow, they were showing me a clip where this other flag was, somebody had taken the American flag and put another flag on top of it. And a veteran walking by saw it, took his knife out. Be careful, a man takes a knife, he'll cut you. Amen. Took his knife out, and somebody, you know, everybody's filming everything now. And I'm glad they filmed this, because he took his knife out, he pulled that flag down, he cut it, and he grabbed the American flag. He said, I've given my life for this flag, and there's no flag that stands above it. Amen. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. You want to know where the liberty comes in? People standing for what's right. And I'm going to tell you something else, Christians. We got a right to be here. I got a right to be here. I calmed a man down the other night at work because he was GD this and GD. I said, ho, 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 ho. I don't care if HR liked it or not. Are you with me? I'll keep mowing grass. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something, I don't have to stand there and hear that vulgar. If that's the way you want to talk, that's your business. But you're not going to talk about it in front of me. Somebody's got to stand up. You know what? We have a right to be here. Amen. You pay your taxes, don't you? Amen. Anyone here don't pay? See Rose. She'll straighten you right out. Amen. I got to hurry up. It's a destructive spirit. Secondly, it's a deceiving spirit. And I think that's the worst part. I didn't really see all this till I began to really, really pray about it. Here's what the Lord told me. He said, Judas did not respect who I was. If he'd respected who I was, he'd have known that I know what he's doing. He was going behind Jesus' back in one kind of turn being two-faced. Any of y'all ever had dealings with two-faced people? Can't trust them, right? Turn to the woman's side and say, I can't trust two-faced people. All right, it's the truth. But you know what? So this is the part about how Satan works. He don't think nobody knows it. The message today is exposing darkness. And Judas is sitting there with Jesus and all the other disciples acting like, hey, I'm one of y'all. Because he's deceived. And I got to tell you this, because I don't want to stand before God with none of y'all's blood on my hands. But you got to give an account to God of your life. And you got to look at God in the eyes and say, Lord, I need you to help me be what I need to be. And don't be deceived into thinking you can be what you want to be and it'll be all right. Don't be deceived. I got to tell you this because I love you. I know we live in a time of grace, and I thank God for grace because you need grace every day. But Paul said, don't use grace for an occasion to do what you want to do. You know what Paul said? Or I can just do anything I want to do and ask the Lord to forgive me. That's deception. And we live in a world today that says I can come to church when I want to. I can be committed when I want to. You know the only time in America today that the majority of people need God is when they really need Him. What are you going to do one day when you go to the food line or whatever and you don't have a chip? That's another story. The last thing. This is the best thing. It's a defeated spirit. The story was, Jesus looked at, it's a defeated spirit. It's a defeated spirit. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. It's a defeated spirit. It's defeated because the power of God is greater than the power of evil. This is a hard time for people that who love God or trying to accomplish something for leaders. It's a hard time for Christian leaders today because people's minds are a million places away. But don't be deceived, because this spirit's going to be defeated. It don't matter the difference what Congress does. It don't make the difference what the world says is okay. I'm telling you, God is still God. Amen? He's still God, and he's going to have the last say. Don't be deceived. As your heads are bowed right now, and I don't want no one looking around because I really feel like I need to do this morning. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I appreciate the word today, and I want you to know that I need God in my life more than I've ever needed Him before, and I just need you to pray for me that I'll just serve God greater than I've ever done before. Would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Thank God for the hands this morning. Father, you've seen every hand this morning. You've seen them raised today, Lord, and you know that they need you, Lord. I know that we're living in the last days, and I know, God, that there's deceptive spirits in this world. There are spirits of apathy. There are spirits of lackadaisicalness. There's all kinds of spirits, God, that tell us that we can serve you any way we want to. And you'll understand. God, you are a God of love, and I thank you for that. But God, you're also a God of order. You want us to love you because we love you. And God, I pray for the heart and life of every person. I plead the blood of Jesus over every life in this sanctuary this morning. And I pray, God, that their hearts will be right with you, Lord. And in this last days, as it intensifies, and as we move faster and faster into your coming, Lord, I pray that ears will be open, eyes will be open, and people will be able to see where we're at in America. God bless America. Thank you, Lord, for America. Thank you, Lord, that we have still a remnant of people who believe that you're still God of America. Thank you, Lord. God bless America. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless everyone in here.